Tango Tango Papa 1994, July 7, 2017.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Littleton, Colorado. So, I have, let me adjust that. I have been pretty busy. I was off work for a few days, took my time off towards the end of June, and then I came back to work. I've been back to work probably about a week or maybe a little more, and I am pretty much bumping up against the hours of service at this point. I think I have right now until midnight rolls around, I have 24 minutes left on the 70 hours in 8 days. So it seems like I stay pretty busy anymore, about as busy as I can be. So in any case, I'm here at Littleton, and then they will have to come up with another load tomorrow after I'm spending the night. There's a truck stop that's close to Littleton, and so I'm spending the night right here, and then they can come up with something tomorrow. Although I have kind of limited hours tomorrow. I think after midnight I probably get back about nine hours and change, and so that's all I'll have, plus the 24 minutes. So I probably will have 10 hours available tomorrow, and then I think the next day I get 5 hours. So whatever load they give me, I can't be pushing too hard, at least within the next couple of days. So weather-wise, hasn't been bad. It's been actually, it hasn't really been that hot. The hottest temperatures that I saw was when I was driving across Kansas. It was, according to the truck thermometer, it was 98 or 99 degrees. And that really isn't too bad, considering early July, especially in Kansas. Of course, I was born and raised in Kansas, and when I was a kid kind of growing up, I lived probably the first 24 years of my life mostly in Kansas, and often in the summer it would get over 100 degrees. We would have days where it could be 100 in the low hundreds, 104, 103, and those were, it seemed like those were sort of typical. They could easily happen. So I, 99 degrees, really, it's not that bad. I know they're complaining lately, Phoenix and Los Angeles, they're having over, 100 degree plus days. I think I saw a thing a while ago, and it said that Phoenix was going to be 117. Well, that's really, it seems like it's extreme, but it's Phoenix in the summer, in the middle of the summer. I remember driving through there a number of years ago, and the truck thermometer said 117. So it's not unheard of for it to get that hot. And of course, Los Angeles, a lot of times Los Angeles doesn't get that hot because it's closer to the ocean. Although inland, you know, those cities that are sort of inland, you know, the suburbs that are inland from Los Angeles, they can get over 100 degrees easily. So it's a desert, you know, they call it the desert Southwest. Of course, you got they're not that far from Death Valley, which is famous for getting very hot. And you know, it's like the hottest temperatures ever recorded, at least that we've recorded, have been in Death Valley, California. So it gets very hot there. So it gets hot in Las Vegas. It's the desert. It's the desert Southwest. It gets hot. So anyway, it's the rest of the country. It's been, you know, comparatively, it hasn't been as hot as it could be. And it's been raining quite a bit at home. There's been plenty of years, you know, where I live there in Northwest Arkansas. There's been plenty of years where it has, you know, in the summer it'll sort of dry up and then people start griping that we're having a drought or whatever. Well, this year it's, you know, it's continued to rain. So there's been plenty of rain. And so, I don't know, people love to talk about the weather and complain about it, and but it's just the weather and it does what it does. And that's why we... as human beings, if we want to survive, we can't, you know, we can't live outside without some sort of protection. That's why we build shelter, to shelter ourselves from it. Otherwise, we'd sooner or later, we would die of exposure. There's very few environments where you could just live outside. Maybe you could, possibly in Hawaii, you might be able to pull it off, at least in the short term. But long term, they still build houses and they still have air conditioning and I guess in Hawaii they don't, you know, the people think, well, we don't need it. It's kind of like the people, some of the people in, you know, around the Bay Area in California, you know, San Francisco area, Santa Cruz, a lot of those people don't have air conditioning. And then when it does get up, very hot, you know, it can get over 100 degrees, then they don't have any air conditioning. Well, most of the time we don't need it. Well, you need it now. I imagine there are people in Los Angeles that are in it. Well, normally we don't need it. Well, you need it now. So, but the weather is the weather, and it just does what it does, and you just deal with it. But, like I say, people love to complain about it, and the whole global warming thing was an attempt to politicize it, and it's, you know, which is absurd. But of course, people love to politicize everything they possibly can. I think that's especially true as people, you know, as a sort of the morals decline. Everything becomes more politicized than normal. When we talk about politicizing, what does that really mean? It's emotionalizing. Kind of emotionally, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's really what it means, is people become very emotional over things. And as I've said before, really, we as human beings should be like, you know, you have the Spock character and the original Lost in Space, the original Star Trek series. And of course, the Spock character, you know, they tried to present him as sort of an oddity, but when in fact he was the most human of all the characters. All the other ones were all caught up in various emotions, but the Spock character, that's what we should, as human beings, we should aspire to be. really without emotions. You know, people love, you know, there's some people that say, well, you know, I love God, you know, and they try to, and they get all emotional about it. Well, if you really stop and think about it, God loves us as human beings. God created us. God loves us. And it's really an insult. Yes, I said that. Yes, I did say that. It's an insult for us to say that we love God. You know, that's akin to, you know, if you think of, you create a doll with a string, and it's, you know, and you pull the little string, it's got the little circle at the end of it, and you pull the string, and then it winds back in, and then it says, as it winds back in, it pulls it back, the string back in, it says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, that's really, if you're the doll maker, that's really sort of an insult. And if that's true, then any emotions that we have as human beings are really an insult to what we were created to be. Our emotions are sign of our falling away from what we should be, what we were created to be. So the whole political thing is just people emotionalizing things, kind of imbibing in emotions. And pretty ridiculous. So, you know, if you want to be emotional, have at it. Go for it. See what good it does you. You know, if you don't think you're emotional enough, become a more emotional. And I'm not talking just about negative, you know, so-called negative emotions. It's positive emotions as well. Those are just as bad. I really do believe those are just as bad. So, but in any case, I could talk about that all day long. I've got a couple of voice files. I've got one from Mark, and then I've got a short one from Joel. So I guess I might as well play the one from Mark first, since that's the, I've kind of played them in the order that they came in. So here is Mark.
Hey, Tom. This is Mark again. Thank you for playing last week's voicemail that I sent you. I think this is a really cool format, and I like how your podcast allows listeners just to chime in and talk about random things. And so I wanted to follow up from what I talked about in your last podcast. And if any of the listeners don't know about it, it was about the Facebook ads and their ability to track using various methods. And one of the methods I was concerned with was listening in on the mic. So I really enjoyed your responses to that and the guess that, well, I'll go back just to refresh everyone's mind. So I was shopping for a washer and dryer. I did some searches, and me and my wife were talking about it. She has a Mac. She did some searching on that, and I was scrolling on my Facebook feed and noticed that ads for Samsung washing machines at the same time we're shopping for Samsung washing machines. And so my presumption is that Facebook was listening in through my microphone on my iPhone and using that to display the ads. And your guess, which was actually one of my original presumptions as well, is that somehow there was a linking going on between my wife's Mac and her Safari and my iPhone. And you'd stated that maybe one day I may have used my wife's Mac to log into Facebook, and that would establish a cookies library. And any time that she does activities on her Safari, that would notify Facebook for whoever logged in and kind of distribute that up and down the chain. And that's certainly very plausible. That's something that's very likely to have happened. The one input that I have on that is that I've actually never even touched her computer before. So, you know, she uses it for work. She uses it all the time. I've got my own PC, so I've never really had a reason to even look at hers at all. The only time I actually ever have done anything with her laptop is when she has questions about how it works, and so I'll kind of sit there beside her and kind of guide her along. But, you know, I've never opened anything on her laptop at all. The only thing that maybe I could guess to establish a connection between her laptop and my Facebook logins would be we're on the Apple family sharing plan, which means basically if any of our devices are lost, or I want to see where my son's phone or my daughter's phone or her computer or my iPad or anything, you know, I can pull up the Find My Friends or those types of, or Find My iPhone, all that kind of stuff, and you know, they'll show me their geopositions using a combination of Wi-Fi and the cellular or any other types of antennas, and be able to tell me where those devices are. And also we can share music and things like that. So possibly there might be some sort of connection there. I would find it curious though, because Apple really espouses to security and not allowing people into their deep system. So you know, all the apps are supposedly sandboxed, but again, there's no telling what you're allowing in terms and conditions when you sign into Facebook, you know, allowing it to bypass some of those things. And since my last conversation with you, I actually did find the switch to turn the mic off with my Facebook, and it's not within the Facebook app itself, it's within the settings of the phone. So, and I do remember allowing the microphone to be turned on, and my thought primarily was that mic was going to be used for, you know, doing calls with the messaging app, or for doing Facebook Live, or you know, posting, you know, direct live videos through Facebook, because I sometimes like to do that when I run or go on vacation or something like that. So I thought that's primarily what it was for. You know, other functions of a mic or why we would need a mic, not sure. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely possibilities of connecting somebody else's activities connected through Apple Family Share through the system, and Facebook being able to see what my wife is doing on her system and then displaying stuff on anybody else's system connected. I hope that that's not going on, and the reason I hope it's not going on is because Apple does promise this level of sandbox security, and it's, I would find it troublesome that they would allow Facebook to penetrate and use that as a channel to affect the activities of other apps on other families' devices. So hopefully that's not something that's going on, but yeah, it's definitely possible. Another thing too is that happened yesterday or the past couple days. I have a friend who used to work at Dell, and so he and I were talking a lot about Dell laptops and how he's been, you know, he used to work on Dell laptop design, and I was talking about laptops as well. You know, maybe I'll be in the market for buying one in the future. And this is another example where nobody was talking, you know, engaging with a computer, you know, searching for Dell, shopping for Dell, anything like that. And I even have the mic switch turned off for my Facebook, supposedly. You know, that does not turn off the mic. That doesn't change any electronic traces. You know, of course, I can talk on my phone, so you know, other apps keep the mic on. So I don't really know what turning the mic off means if I turn it off for Facebook. But I can tell you, after talking about those Dell laptops, I did almost immediately see an ad for Dell laptops. So I'm still curious. But most of my curiosity really isn't about that. I mean, I am aware that Facebook makes its money from advertisements, and you know, they're a very profitable company, so they're very good at that, and I don't blame them for that. You know, I'm okay in general with them presenting ads, You know, when you watch TV stations over network, I'm okay with ads there, so I don't have to necessarily pay for free TV, free antenna TV. So they got to make some money somehow. Great. What I am concerned about is, and I still believe, is their ability to use these extrasensory devices in our phones that are purely capable of listening in or peeking in or sensing movements, sensing map positions, and using that for doing things. And when I say doing things, it's not necessarily displaying ads, but it's just for things that you're not aware of, you know, building all this data that can be used for anything that's for the future. And it just makes you wonder what those plans are. You know, they may not know what the plans are. They just want to prepare all this stuff ahead of time and use them for something when they discover could be useful without you ever being aware, you know. And it's a little bit nefarious to think that you could be turning off a switch that you think turns something off when it actually might not. It may turn off a switch for a function that you know it's obviously used for. Like right now that I have the switch off, I probably can't use Facebook Live until I turn it back on. But, you know, the mic is still wired. It could still be there useful for doing these other things like displaying ads. So, in summary, yes, my wife had she was looking at it on her laptop, which is connected through Apple Family Share, and it may have used that channel to show an ad. But I still believe that it could be listening in on the mic because of the Dell ad experience. So anyway, just want to know what you think about that. Have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. So there's two different microphones, of course. You've got the microphone on the computer, and then you've got the more suspect one, really, although maybe it is, maybe it isn't, the one on the phone. So now the other possibility is if you were absolutely sure that you weren't, you hadn't looked up, like on another computer that's associated only with you, that you hadn't on there, or your phone, you hadn't looked up any kind of Samsung stuff. And then another possibility is if your wife, now is she using the computer strictly for work, or has she gone to Facebook, to her own account on Facebook? Because, if she has, then Facebook obviously knows that, your relationship with your wife, so I'm assuming you each have your own Facebook account, so therefore they know that, it would be silly to think they didn't, Facebook didn't know that your wife's Facebook account and your Facebook account, that you two, you're a couple, and so therefore they would be able to associate that on the back end. So there, that's another possibility, because they gather this data, and it's their data. They make that pretty clear if you read the terms of service. It's kind of theirs to do whatever, you're on a kind of a guest on their system, and they can use that any way they want to, pretty much. So, but they may be, you could test that theory by, find some other, I would, without using the word, find some other, just make sure you don't say it around your phone or around a suspect microphone. Find some other thing, the advertiser that advertises frequently, like on, for example, Dell or Samsung. Find some other advertiser, and then start just, say the word around around your phone or around your computer. Say those words, and then kind of test that, and then try to see if those ads pop up. And, you know, if it does, then, you know, you may be onto something. But it's possible that they have used the microphone. You know, that is possible. But I think I would say that it's more likely that it's through cookies. So again, you know, you know, Facebook knows that your wife is your wife, and that you're the husband, and those two accounts are no doubt tied together. On the back end, at least from an ad standpoint. So if your wife has ever gone to Facebook on her work computer, which you said it's an Apple, if she's ever gone to Facebook, she probably has a cookie, and that's kind of tracking what she's doing. And she looked up the Samsung washing machines, and then you opened up your Facebook account on your phone, and all of a sudden, bang, there you're seeing Samsung ads. So it could be the microphone, maybe, and it might well be, but I'd say there's also a chance it's still cookies. So try it. Find some other advertiser besides Dell or Samsung and start just, you know, kind of use those words around your phone or any suspect microphone, and, you know, make sure that you haven't actually browsed and looked those things up, because that's the other possibility, is that you may have pre-contaminated it by looking it up, because when you look something up on your phone, it's going to track that too. Or if you looked it up on your own laptop, then it's going to, any computer you look it up on that you've ever opened up any kind of Facebook on, it's going to track, obviously. So, you know, and even if you're on a work computer that you've, you know, let's say you have a computer at work and you've opened up your Facebook account on that, you might not remember, but then somehow, and it might not even be Facebook, it may be another tracking company, because there's other tracking companies that are doing cookies that Facebook is buying the data from, let's say. And so you could be browsing for whatever on your computer, and all of a sudden it shows up. Because there's, you know, these companies do use the stuff back and forth. You know, there's other tracking companies that are making cookies that are tracking what you do. And, you know, they're able to kind of figure out it's you. So it's like I say, I just kind of take that all for granted now. And, I kind of don't worry about it, you know, because they're going to do it anyway, and sometimes it's actually convenient when one of those ads pop up. A lot of times it's after the fact, you know, like after I've made a purchase, then I start seeing ads for whatever it is. And I guess I'm probably, if I made the purchase once, I'm probably more likely to see that kind of after the fact, but I'm not necessarily influenced by ads per se, you know, because sometimes I see ads for different things that I've already looked at on Amazon, and you know, I can see them in various places, and, you know, do they influence me? No, not even surprised by it anymore. So, you know, now the big shocker would be, you know, because Apple's made such a, you know, Tim Cook's made such a big deal about how Apple, you know, these other companies, you're the product, it's almost like they've talked it up too much. You know, you're the product, and, you know, with Apple, you're not the product, and we just want to make the insanely great, the best computers we can, or best technical devices we can, and sell them to you, and we want to keep your privacy private, and blah, 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 blah. And he's made such a big thing out of that. Wouldn't it be a shock if it wasn't true? And I'm not saying that it would be, but it would be a big shock, you know, and people would be, you know, kind of going bananas if it turned out that Apple was kind of using the data behind the scenes, you know, or selling it somehow. And I really don't think they are, but then again, there may be things going on that Apple's may not be aware of. I don't know. So, which that would probably be more likely. But I'd say it's browser cookies still. It could, although it could be microphone on your phone. It could, you know, it could be. It certainly could be. But now on the Apple thing, I have an iPad and I've got Facebook installed on it. And I'm not sure, I really don't know if, you know, I'm more familiar with Android, like on my phone, for example, because whenever I install an application on my phone that I've never installed before, or if the thing changes, sometimes it'll bring up a whole list before it'll let me go ahead and install it. It brings up a list of things that the app will need access to. And sometimes it says microphone, and it'll say phone, or, you know, and there's various reasons why it does that. You'd think, well, why does this app need access to my phone, for example, or access to my contacts? Well, there actually are legitimate reasons why it would, because I was listening to a podcast one day, and this developer was kind of explaining why that was the case. And so sometimes if they've made a change to an application, they've added a thing, a new requirement, and it needs a new, you know, it'll pop up an update, and even though I've had the app installed on my phone before, it makes me click through it again, you know, kind of authorizing it to happen. Otherwise, my only other choice is to get rid of the app. But, you know, we want the apps to be be useful. We want them to be functional. So we kind of have to grant permission. But I don't know what the equivalent thing is on an Apple device, really, because it doesn't work the same way as it does on the Google Play Store as far as the Apple Store. Now, on my iPad, I've got certain applications, and they just automatically, of course, I got them set to automatically update, and that just kind of happens, and I don't worry about it. And pretty much all I use the iPad for these days is watching videos, and occasionally I'll, you know, grab it and search for something or other. But I mostly am using it to watch videos on YouTube, and that's kind of the extent of it. And lately, I'm not even doing that very much because I just watch them on my phone. I've been trying to take some of the pressure, or, you know, not use so much data on my Verizon unlimited grandfathered unlimited account, data account. And so I've been trying to sort of take the pressure off of that. And so I'm finding a lot more Sprint LTE showing up, and I'm unlimited on Sprint on my phone, and so I just watch videos on my phone instead of on the iPad. Now, you know, in the case where I don't have adequate LTE Sprint coverage, then I will go ahead and grab the iPad usually and just watch, you know, because it's going to be on Wi-Fi anyway on the Verizon Wi-Fi. So I will go ahead and grab the iPad and just watch the videos on there sometimes. But it's I'm using the iPad less and less because for a long time now I've just been using it for videos, because it really isn't, it's useful, most useful as a consumption device, not so much as a content creation device. And so I'm just using, you know, I've just been using it for some time now. I've been using it to watch videos on, And even that role is kind of diminishing. I'm just using the phone for most everything. Except, of course, I use the Surface Pro for recording podcast with, or if in the case if I need to type something, or because it's easier to type it on a real keyboard as opposed to trying to type it into the phone or even on the iPad. It's just easier to type on a physical keyboard if I'm typing very much. But I mostly use the Surface Pro 3 to record podcast with. And the form factor has a lot to do with that, because it's bigger and it's got a physical keyboard, and it just makes it easier as a content creation device versus a phone or an iPad or tablet is typically, without a mouse pointer and without a physical keyboard. They make great consumption devices, and I can do a little bit of stuff with the phone, as far as paying bills and that type of thing. Phone works great for that. Making videos, casual videos, of course. Latest thing, and I mentioned it in the last podcast, I think I got the DJI Spark drone. So I've been trying to fly that. I haven't been able to fly it in the past couple of days because I've been so busy driving. Just did not have time to do it. Or when I could have done it, it was windy, too windy. So, by the way, speaking of the drone, that day, I put up a video where it was kind of a windy day. I was in Dallas, Texas, and as soon as the drone lifted off, I was in a large concrete parking lot. As soon as the drone lifted off, it started going in the direction of the wind, and I had to land it immediately, and I was assuming that it was just the wind. But now I'm thinking, because I've watched some videos on YouTube where, the wind was blowing pretty hard, and the guy was just experimenting, and so the drone kind of shook around a little bit, the Spark, but it was able, obviously it was using more battery, but it was able to kind of stay put. It didn't blow away like that. So the other thing that may have been contributing to the fact that it started going off in a direction immediately was when I turned it on, it told me, hey, you need to calibrate the compass. And of course, to calibrate the compass, I had it setting on the concrete slab, this large concrete parking lot. So it told me to spin it around horizontally, spin it around once, and then it wanted me to spin it, kind of turn it up on end and spin it around a time or two. I think at least to 360 degrees. But then I tried that a couple, three times, and it kept coming back, and it says, there's a strong magnetic field. Try getting rid of the magnetic field and try again. Well, there may have been, I don't know what the magnetic field could have been. It could have, I was thinking, well, maybe it's the, it's concrete, so maybe there's some, there might have been some reinforcement steel rebars in there that might have been affecting it, or the thing that just popped into my head was there may have been a buried electrical line underneath the concrete. That's possible too, I suppose. And so I really didn't think the wind was blowing that hard. It was blowing, but not that hard. So it may have been the strong electrical influence of something, some strong magnetic field was causing it to, drift off. So I think, that may have played a part in it. But whenever I go home again, I'm going to order an anemometer from Amazon. I found one that looked like it was a pretty decent one. It's got a lot of positive reviews 5-star reviews. It sells for about $20. Amazon Prime item. I think I may go ahead, I'll probably go ahead and buy one of those and just so I can sort of test the wind speed before I fly the drone. So, but anyway, so I don't know. Microphone, it still could be. I would be testing it. Start, you know, find ads and be careful about, you know, you don't contaminate your test. Find ads that are prominent on the internet that you might see, you know, especially tech-related ones, you know, like, you know, that are really common, like Samsung or Dell, but other than Samsung or Dell, you know, find some other ones and just use those words around your phone. Just kind of use those words or your phone or wherever, whatever microphone you think it might be. Use those words, but be careful about researching it on your computer, because the cookies. Those cookies are everywhere, and they're watching all of the devices you're associated with, and they, believe me, they know which devices you're associated with. You know, you're not just totally anonymous. None of us are. None of us are anonymous in this day and age. You know, they know who we are. They know what our preferences are, and you know, so, and they're getting better and better at kind of figuring out who we are and what we like, and therefore what ads to show us. What are we likely to buy? What are we likely to, what's likely to catch our eye? You know, what's most likely to get us to open up our wallets? So, but I would just kind of test it, you know, somehow, find some things that are common, as you know, you might get some suggestions from your friends as far as which companies or names that you should say around your phone, and just start, you know, see what happens. But just remember that if you're looking those things up on a computer or a phone that's associated with you in any way whatsoever, it's gonna, you know, get reported back into the system, and you know, so that's how you could end up kind of contaminating it, as opposed to just saying the words. So, and then conversely, you know, on the other side of that, let's say you've got a work computer, and so just start looking, you know, figure out something to look up, like a Ford car or a, you know, like a specific model. That would be a good one, actually. You know, because, you know, all the car companies are advertising on the internet all the time. You know, after I bought that Toyota Yaris, I started seeing lots of Toyota ads. But, of course, I had already looked up a lot of Toyota stuff. I've watched a jillion Toyota Yaris videos on YouTube. And so that, I started seeing lots and lots and lots of Toyota Yaris ads. Now, I'm not watching nearly as many Toyota Yaris videos at this point, and I stopped going to the Toyota website, and so I'm not seeing too many Toyota Yaris ads now. But that's one thing you might try, is, you know, just start saying the name of a, you know, the brand and the model of a car, and, you know, use that as a thing and see what happens. Or conversely, like I say, find, you know, let's say you've got a work computer, start looking that up on your computer, your work computer, or have your wife just look it up. Don't, be careful not to say the word, just maybe pass her a note or something, or make sure you're well away from your phone, but have her look up, you know, like a car, you know, like a particular car, like let's say Cadillac Escalade, or, you know, and just have her look it up, go to the Cadillac website. Or go to the, you know, any, you know, pick your favorite car company website. And then start looking at your devices and see what the result is. But be careful not to say it. You know, so, you know, don't, because it would be possible to kind of cross-contaminate your experiment. So, anyway, thank you, Mark. It's an interesting topic. So I'll go ahead now and play Joel's comment. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, watching your YouTube video on the Spark. Pretty neat looking video there from that little drone. I'm just wondering how easy that thing is to control with your phone. Not really too keen on using the phone for controlling the drone. I think I'd prefer physical controls mostly because I just think it's a little bit easier. Plus, I played Sega released the Sonic the Hedgehog video game, which has on-screen controls, and every time I've played a video game with on-screen controls, it's not been that great. But I'm just kind of wondering what your experience would be with the Spark. I'm thinking probably spending more money and get something more like the Phantom 4 or the Mavic, actually, is the one I'm more interested in. It's a lot like yours, except for just a little bit bigger. And it comes with a physical control that you can plop your phone into. So just wonder what your thoughts are on what it's like controlling it from just the screen on your phone. I assume you probably could go buy a controller, but the one neat thing about the Spark is just how teeny tiny that thing is.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. The Spark, get my thoughts here together, I guess. The Spark, of course, I bought just the drone itself. Now, they do sell a controller. It's very similar to the, looks very similar to the one for the Mavic. I guess it was a Mavic Pro. Very similar to that. But it only works with the Spark. And the reason being, I think the Mavic actually has a radio controller, whereas the Spark is using Wi-Fi. So, and, the controller itself uses Wi-Fi. It's just a more, it's more powerful. The controller is able to send out a, kind of a more powerful Wi-Fi signal than your phone can. So, with the phone, the range is limited. With the controller for the Spark, the extra controller, they're claiming 1.2 mile range. So, I don't know that I would be comfortable flying it 1.2 miles away. That's a long ways, but so I don't know, but I do think I'm going to get the controller. That's going to be another thing that whenever I go home again towards the end of this month, probably will go ahead and order the controller for the Spark. And you still use the phone as the, phone or tablet as your screen. You're for the streaming video, but I do think the physical controllers would make it, easier to control the drone with. That being said, I am kind of getting better at sort of remembering which virtual joystick does what. There's two of them, and I am getting more comfortable with kind of using them both at once, that type of thing. But I am going to buy the actual controller. But the problem, you're always better off, really, if you've got a physical knob, physical buttons, as opposed to software buttons on a touch screen. Now, the deal with the software buttons, the virtual buttons, the virtual controls on a touch screen is convenience. It's tremendously convenient to be able, you know, it's, you know, obviously you can type, for example, you can type much better, much more efficiently on a real physical keyboard. But if, you know, the on-screen keyboard is very convenient, it's right there, and it ends up, even though it's not as efficient, it ends up probably being faster than, because otherwise you'd have to find a physical keyboard plug-in or whatever. So, and you may not have that with you, or you don't have room for it. So, you know, that's why these devices, especially the smartphones, the larger screen smartphones, are so incredibly useful. And they're so, you know, because they're putting all these different functions right in front. You know, the phone that I have, it's a camera, it's a telephone, it can function as a 4K video recorder if I want to. It can function as an audio recorder. It can function as a bill payment device. It can function as a browser. It can easily function as a, you know, in this case, a drone controller. It can function as a remote control for my heating and air conditioning at home. You know, any number of things that these things can do, and it's tremendously convenient. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, physical controls are really better for certain things, and you know, especially for you want to be more precise, you really need a physical control as opposed to you know, sort of a virtual touchscreen type thing. So, now one of the, you know, I know the Mavic is, you know, it has more range, and of course it's using a radio controller. It's got very similar, I've watched videos on it as well. The Mavic has very similar functions that, you know, to the Spark. The thing with the Spark is that they were able to kind of take that and shrink it down even farther, and you know, you still have they still use the same camera that the Mavic has, but they're reducing the resolution to 1080p in the Spark, because the Spark only has a two-axis gimbal, and so that third axis is sort of virtualized by, you know, kind of using the a smaller video area of a larger pixel count, whereas with the Mavic they go ahead and they just record 4K, because they actually have a physical three-axis gimbal, so that, you know, that's able to compensate. But 1080p is fine. You know, I'm not doing anything really wild with the video. I'm just kind of, you know, posting it on YouTube or whatever. And, you know, it's good enough for me. And, you know, for most people, you know, even though I've had the capability of recording 4K video going all the way back to the, you know, the Note 3, could record 4K video. I just didn't. Did I find myself doing it very often? No. Do I do it very often now? No, I don't, because the files are too big. You know, if you record very much 4K video, the files end up being huge. You gonna upload that to YouTube? You can. How many people are watching the 4K videos on YouTube on a 4K screen? Probably not very many. Mostly they're going to be watching them on a, you know, they're probably the phone, or, you know, screen the size of, you know, a phone or something. You know, or maybe if they're, you know, they might be watching it on a Roku, you know, on a bigger screen. Maybe. If you have the bandwidth. You know. So, the 4K, you know, it's fine and dandy, but it, you know, until we get more bandwidth, you know, and more, you know, more bandwidth, more capacity, you know, maybe then it can be something. But at the moment, the 1080p is fine, and even 720p is fine, especially if you're going to upload stuff to YouTube. So most people aren't even going to be able to see the difference on, you know, on a small phone screen. So the thing I like, one of the things I really like about the Spark is the fact that it is so small. And now I have yet to have anyone kind of come up and question, what are you doing, or we don't allow drones, or what are you doing with it, you know, what are you doing with that? Haven't had that experience. We'll try to avoid that experience. If I'm in doubt, let's say I'm in some sort of a park and I'm in doubt as to whether drones are allowed. Let's say I, you know, that park, I live near Devil's Den State Park, out, you know, in at home there in Arkansas. And are drones allowed out there? I don't know. I, you know, before I would actually use the drone out there, and I probably will at some point, I am going to contact the park itself and ask them. You know, and just find a, you know, the park ranger. I think, you know, you can probably call them on the phone, I'm sure. And just ask them, hey, is this legal? Can I do this? They'll either say, yes, you can, or no, you can't, or yes, you can, but here are the restrictions, you know. So I'm going to find out. But I'm, you know, otherwise, you know, if I'm in, you know, a lot of cities, you're probably taking a risk if you're in a city, if you're doing it. You just never know, because a lot of cities have passed ordinances against it, even though it, you know, may or may not be legal with, according to the FAA, for them, for cities to ban them. I don't know, but nonetheless, it's best just to ask, you know, if you're unsure. But excuse me. But the thing is, with the Spark, the thing is so small that it looks like a toy. You know, because some of those drones, I'm sure you've seen them. You go to Best Buy even. Some of them, you know, even some of the ones they have at Best Buy are just humongous. They're huge. And it's kind of like the difference. Let's say that, you know, I've got my smartphone. And, of course, it's got a, you know, everybody knows a smartphone's got microphones, of course. But if I went around, this microphone that I have right here, it's a Heil PR40, and I've had it for a number of years to record this podcast with. And let's say that I went out and it went in the truck stop, and I had, and I can plug the microphone. I've got a thing, and it, you know, where I can plug this microphone into my smartphone. And I was just kind of walking around talking into the microphone, into this big Heil PR40 microphone, making a recording. Do you think that's going to attract attention? As opposed to me just kind of talking into my phone? Guarantee you that a big microphone, like, what are you doing? What are you doing with this microphone? You know, we don't allow that. Versus you're just talking into your phone. What's the difference? Size. So, you know, even if, let's say I'm in a truck stop, in the back of a truck stop, and somebody kind of comes up and says, what, you know, or what are you doing, or we don't allow you to fly drones or whatever, and, you know, the Mavic is small enough, I don't know about the Mavic, but the Spark is small enough that it really looks like a toy. I mean, you could just say, well, I'm just kind of flying my little toy drone around. You know, they wouldn't necessarily know unless they, you know, they were savvy about it. They wouldn't necessarily know that it even had a 1080p video recorder on it. They wouldn't even necessarily know that because, you know, you could pay it. You know, it's easily to pay, you know, kind of easy to pass that off as a toy. So that's one of the things that it really has something going for it is the fact that it's so small. And yet, it's very capable. So, that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, the smaller the drone, the more likely it is that, you know, somebody's not going to hassle you versus some, you know, the bigger the drone, the more attention it's going to get. You know, because a little tiny drone, it would be easy for people to not even notice it. Versus a bigger one, probably gonna, you know, it's more likely they're gonna notice it. So that's something to keep in mind. But in any case, I do think I'm gonna get the physical controller, and that makes it look even more like a toy, I think. Although, you know, doing it, you know, controlling it with the phone, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference, but. You know, between or the, I mean, physically, because I think the controller itself isn't much bigger than your, you know, it's kind of no longer than the smartphone is. It's very similar to the Mavic's controller, and so it would be easy to just say, oh well, this is just a toy drone, and just kind of flying my little toy drone around is what I would say, and they'd either tell me that I could or I couldn't, you know, so. But the bigger they are, the more attention it gets, and that's certainly it's, you know, it's the same phenomena with microphones. So anyhow, thank you, Joel. Think I'm going to bring this to a close. Get this uploaded. And by the way, I think I mentioned it. I was having problems with my. Website, and so now, you know, the website's still on GoDaddy. That's all the same, and that should be functioning perfectly now. But at this point, the files are going to be hosted not on the GoDaddy account. They're going to be hosted on Blueberry, the Todd Cochran's Blueberry network. You know, it's a hosting service for podcasts, so they're hosted there. And that should be quite a bit more efficient, I think. So see how this works out. So anyhow, hope everyone is has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.